You're listening to the Bragman Breakdown Podcast. Here's your host, Jackson Bragman.
Bragman Breakdown in your ears on a Saturday night. I am your host, Jackson Bragman, the one and only, and joining me today, two very special guests on this little bonus pod we have. Obviously, our normal update upload day is on Thursdays, but today, Saturday night, this will be up probably Sunday morning. Maybe I'll get it up by Saturday night. But I thought I would talk to two of my good buddies, two very avid supporters of the University of Michigan's athletic department. So I thought they would be good to have on after Michigan's big win today. It is one and only co-host of this great podcast, the Bragman Breakdown, Gabe the Goose Efros, and from the Today in Sports podcast, Jean-Paul Addo, JP. How are you guys doing? Big day, obviously. Michigan caught that W against Ohio State, their first time beating OSU in 9 years. Absolutely huge day for the Wolverines, guys.
Jackson, first off, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I'm excited to talk some college football and summarize the day. But yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. This is probably the best day I've had as a Michigan fan ever. I'm still in awe of how it all played out. I really can't believe we pulled out the W today. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I watched it. I know Gabe was at the game itself, but I watched it in my living room. But I could just tell through this just a screen that the atmosphere was unreal, and the big house was rocking. That's probably the best atmosphere it's had once again in a very long time. I went to a couple games this year. I went to the Maze Owl against Washington. That was a great atmosphere. But today was just a different vibe to it. You know, the rivalry seems like it's back. You know, Michigan seems like they're ready to roll in the rivalry again. I mean, yeah, just a great day all around for the University of Michigan.
I can say that at the game, it was definitely the best atmosphere I've experienced at the Big House, period. I think that you can really tell that they tried to, you know, get people excited pregame, during the game. They had a DJ there who I thought was hilarious. And
DJ Ski.
When the players walked out of the tunnel to do the famous, you know, when they touched the banner, they played one of those like hurricane warning sounds that went really well, like as they were walking out of the tunnel. And
well, you know, wasn't that the purge thing?
Oh yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. It was the purge sound effect. Either way, it was awesome. They played that on third down for like the whole game. And it created an amazing atmosphere. I don't think I've ever heard the Big House get as loud as it was during the fourth quarter of the game. After every Son Haskins run, every sack, it was awesome. And it was easily the best experience I've had at the Big House. However, I will say Happy Valley does still probably get louder, but that's irrelevant at this point.
So walk me through your day, Gabe. Walk me through waking up, getting to Ann Arbor. Did you go to game day? Were you tailgating? You know, what was the whole deal? And then walk me through, you know, your emotions, highs and lows of the game.
So for those who know me, which I'm assuming if you're listening to this right now, you probably do, I'm not the biggest social butterfly. So naturally, I skipped out on the tailgates and going to game day. I went into the stadium a nervous wreck, ready to watch the game about 2 hours before it actually started. So I was mostly just sitting in my seat, mentally preparing, leading up to the game. I did fire off a quick Snapchat message to our college football group chat that said, "We are about to get hammered." It never sent, and then it sent after the game, which I thought was very funny. So yeah, most of the pregame was me just being nervous. The game started, opening drive, Michigan had a great touchdown. And I told my dad, I'm like, that's exactly how the 2019 game started. Pretty much the exact same play, exact same everything. And
the AJ Hodges sweep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it went to Giles Jackson in 2019. Yeah. That doesn't really matter. I didn't really feel anything for most of the first half. I mean, after the Stroud touchdown to put Ohio State up three, I kind of was like, you know, here we go again. But then we scored. Then Ohio State scored to go into the half, to be down one. And at that point, I was like, I didn't know what to feel. It was 14-13. We played a good half. But at the same time, it felt like we should still be up more. There was a red zone INT. There was all these things that happened. We still played a good game.
Yeah, Jake, Ohio State was, I think, 0-3 in terms of touchdowns in the red zone that first half.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They might have been.
They kicked those two field goals in the red
zone. Yeah, in the moment, they don't really have that. They don't track that as well, especially with no announcer, so I'm not sure. JP, what were you thinking at half? I would like to know what your perspective was.
I mean, I felt the same exact thing as you. I was like, you know, because it reminded me of a couple years ago in the Citrus Bowl when we were up against Bama 14-13. And you know, like, I was like, you know what? We won these first two quarters, but you know, I'm expecting OSU, they're coming out with the ball at half. I'm thinking, you know, they're going to come out, score a touchdown. Then from there, it's just going to get kind of ugly. And after that Garrett Wilson touchdown, I was like, yeah, here we go again. Just same stuff. But I'm very surprised, honestly. Like, I still can't believe it, like I said, but, you know, I'm really impressed with the way Harbaugh and the whole staff, the game plan and everything, especially Josh Gattis. Yeah. He really surprised me.
I was going to get to that, especially the second half. He called a great second half.
Yeah, like this guy, that's easily the best game he's called as the leader of the Michigan offense.
Yeah, I would for sure agree with that. I mean, the second half, the game plan was interestingly similar to the Washington game, which was just like run, run, run. And it's amazing that it worked. It honestly is. And it was in the stadium. It was awesome to see just them keep running the ball, especially now. This is inside info. No one can tell anyone, but there were two Ohio State fans sitting behind me and my dad. And my dad was beefing with them, and
Mr. Efro's was beefing with them.
Honestly, they weren't even doing anything. He just wanted to beef, which I can respect for sure.
Was he talking shit to them?
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna tell him like, Dad, you look like a moron right now. Just like move to an open seat, but he didn't because whatever. And yeah, they were beefing. I'm like, I wasn't scared anything was going to happen because my dad is like very like short and non-threatening. But I looked back as my dad was arguing. I looked back at the fans as my dad was arguing with them, and I just smiled at them because Michigan was up two touchdowns at that point. And I'm like, yeah, you got to listen to my annoying ass dad argue with you about literally nothing right now. And I'm like, yeah,
let's go, sick. Mr. Efro.
Yeah,
yes, sick. Mr. Efro's in his bag.
Yeah, he was. Teddy was in his bag. He like after the final touchdown we had, my dad, I'm like, he's like, yeah, it was a pretty good game. Which, if you know him, that's like the highest compliment he would ever give Michigan football ever, right? For such a big fan, he hates watching them. Which I think is a bit of a microcosm for all Michigan fans. It's a huge sigh of relief that we beat Ohio State. Now,
JP, you hate watching Michigan play.
Yeah, no, I don't actually. I love watching Michigan football. I joke around a lot, but I do. JP, what was your thought? I want to know what your thoughts were during like when Ohio State was during their second half drives, because to me it felt very similar to the MSU game where there were just a ton of fourth down opportunities for our defense to put the game away and they just didn't. I was getting kind of nervous. I want to know what you were thinking.
Okay, so when Ohio State brought the ball out before the second half, I was turned over to my brother and I was like, okay, here's what needs to happen. We need a stop and a score. And we got that. I was so surprised that we got that. We got the, was it Corum who had that long run on the first play of
The second play. Yeah. Corum, he took a sweep and then took it to the 15-yard line.
Also, on Corum, I think 5 weeks ago, he puts that in the end zone. I don't think he was 100%.
He definitely was not. He after the long run, I'm pretty sure he didn't get back in the game. Yeah, I'm not 100% on that, though.
I mean, I respect to Blake for.
He was good when he played. He looked good when he's up.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole running game was Right, but whatever. You're right.
For sure. I mean, yeah, like back to what Gabe said. When they were driving on the field and they were putting those fourth downs away, you know, I was like, you know, this was expected. They have three unreal wide receivers and CJ Stroud, who coming into this game is the Heisman favorite, you know, that's, you know, expected. But honestly, there was like the only time I got nervous was when we were up eight. It was with late in the fourth quarter, but then when Hassan ran into the end zone, like, and he hurdled that guy, you could just tell we were gonna win that game. Like, there were, like, after Hassan hurdled that loser of a defender, like, I knew we were gonna win that game. Another time where I knew we were gonna win the game was when I think Burke on OSU just ripped off the helmet. Like, you could just tell OSU, we were getting to them mentally. They were just, Michigan came to play today. We wanted it more, which is unusual for this program. But there was really not a time in this game where I was like ridiculously in the second half where I was ridiculously concerned. I was like, you know, it might be MSU all over again, blowing a 16, well, it was 15 point lead, but an MSU was 16, you know, blowing a lead. Yeah. But we put it away. We did a great job.
JP, I don't think I could have even put, like, we disagree a lot, but I think that was, like, very, very well said. I think that was very eloquently spoken. I think that that was a moment for me when like you said, Burke got his the helmet was ripped off. That was like that was just a sign that mentally, like, the game was over. It was so that was a very, like, that was a moment that really turned the tide for me. And this whole game, like, today shocked me from the get-go, because that first drive for Michigan, they were driving the ball downfield and their offense looked very good. Not only running the ball, they look great running the ball all day. Hassan Haskins had a career day, and obviously their running attack is the focal point of their offense. But even passing the ball, Cade McNamara. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jax. I'm really sorry, but I just want to say Hassan Haskins cemented his name in Michigan history today. He really did.
True facts.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jax, and I had to say that.
No, that's okay. No, you're absolutely correct. And I would say, and a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, I think you can say the same thing about him. Three sacks, set the single season record for sacks in a season, 13 sacks on the year for Michigan, which broke the record. So Aiden Hutchinson, you can say the same thing about him. Without him, does Michigan win this football game? Who knows? He was key getting pressure off the edge, even when he wasn't getting those sacks. And from a field position standpoint, he was absolutely massive. But I would say that first drive really surprised me, because Michigan was just having their way, just working their way down the field on the Buckeyes. And I was very, very impressed by that opening drive. Ohio State comes down, and it was kind of like a, oh, here we go again moment. It wasn't even that first receiving touchdown for the Buckeyes. It was that the fact that they were driving down the field the first time they touched the football. But then I was surprised, because they got it to first and goal, and they did not score. And Michigan had a great stand in the red zone, and they forced a field goal attempt. And that was like, okay, Michigan's defense, like, they're waking up a little bit now. Maybe this is like the turning of the tide. Because I think from a momentum standpoint, that was huge that Ohio State did not score a touchdown on their first drive. So the first half, Michigan obviously won the first two quarters, like JP said. And then once you got to the second half, they ran up the score and ran away with that. I don't know if I would say ran up the score, but they did run away with the game. So I thought that it was a great effort by Michigan. And to JP's point that Michigan wanted it more, I truly believe that was the case. Every single play that Michigan got a tackle for a loss, or got a sack, or even got a tackle for a gain of 1 or 2 yards, every single big hit from the Michigan defense, there was a massive fist pump and release of energy from the entire defense. The defense played together. They played well. And I know it sounds corny. I know it sounds cliche. And I know it's not what Gabe wants to hear, because Gabe doesn't like any of this, like, positive juju or any of this type of stuff. But I think that Michigan really did want it more today, because they were just so emotionally invested in getting this W. So I was very impressed by the Michigan Wolverines. And like JP said, they came to play. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Gabe. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, what I don't understand is how, like, not even a week ago, You had a team who has, like, supposedly the Heisman front runner at running back, just not even attempt to, like, chew clock and do exactly what we did. It made no sense to me because we're coming in the game, the first drive. I'm like, we just have to keep running the ball. OSU does not have a very good front seven. This is what they're not very good at, if anything, on their whole team. And that's, we exploited it. And it's weird to me because I'm used to Michigan getting outcoached, but like, it's kind of weird that no one on the OSU staff saw that coming, for me at least. Maybe Michigan's O-line is simply that good. Maybe we're just we have the best O-line ever. I don't know. But that's what it seemed like to me.
Well, because it does feel like they've been doing this all season. And the first sign of that was the Washington game when they just ran all over Washington, who was ranked in the preseason. It was like, okay, Michigan has a very special running attack. And that was a very boring game, but Michigan blew them out because they just ran all over them.
Yeah. I want to add something about the Michigan offense. Today we were 6 of 6 in the red zone in terms of touchdowns. That if you would have told me that would have happened before this game, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have looked at you like you were crazy. Against Michigan State, that's the reason we didn't win the game. We settled for field goals, which is not okay in a rivalry game. Just today, I just feel like a different vibe to the program. I don't know, but can I ask you guys this question? Like, let me ask you this, specifically Gabe. Do you think this is just a one-year kind of thing? Or do you think we're here to compete in this rivalry are we back to normal in this rivalry?
Well, here's what I'll say. And this is purely from a technical standpoint, right? We return almost every good. We return like half of our starters on defense. Obviously, we have 3 first round picks we're not returning, but we have a good incoming class and we have good depth on defense. And we're returning basically every offensive player we have. So from a technical standpoint, obviously, I don't see why it wouldn't be a prolonged thing. But from a more like metaphysical or a not real standpoint, from a motivational point, yeah, we won. We're back in it now, of course. Harbaugh won. Finally got his first win. We're back in it.
My only issue is I don't really see how Michigan's defense is not infinitely worse next year. Like, well, with Njabo and Hutchinson off the edge, like, those two guys were so effective giving Stroud no time to throw. Stroud was not effective throwing the ball downfield. He racked up most of his completions and most of his yards on checkdowns, slant routes, curl routes, short plays and passes because his offensive line did not provide him enough time with Njabo and Hutchinson coming off the edge to chuck it down the yard. So
he did have that bomb to Garrett Wilson, to be fair to him.
Yeah, and that was an incredible, incredible catch that Wilson made. But throughout the day, you saw most of it. It was most of his targets were on those short routes to Jackson Smith,
Njigba. Come on, Jackson.
Njigba?
Yeah.
Okay. Jackson Smith Njigba.
Yes.
Very good player.
Definitely had at least 10 catches, but none of them were necessarily like bombs downfield. So he was kind of the go-to guy, as well as Williams out of the backfield got a lot of targets as well. So I think that Michigan's going to have a tough time finding 2 edge rushers as competent as that. And then obviously, mm-hmm. Obviously Dex Hill is going to be.
For all the faults Michigan and their staff have had in the past, developing and replacing specifically edge players has not ever been one of them.
It has.
Right? I get that Hutchinson and Ojabo are like 2 top 10 picks, and we're not going to replace them, but we'll be fine at edge for sure. And I think we're going to only be better at secondary next year than we are this year.
Yeah. I do agree. I agree with that. And to your point, Njabo was not supposed to be this good this year. That's Hutchinson, true. I think we had a feeling that he was going to have a monster season, but Njabo really just kind of burst onto the scene and no one really knew who he was before this year, unless you were an avid Michigan fan.
He's gone. He's gone. There's no chance. He comes back. He got to go chase that bag. But I'm thankful for everything he's done, but I'm just so happy for Aiden Hutchinson. Like, this guy is such, like, off the field, he's a really good guy. He's a hell of a competitor, and he's a true Michigan man, I guess you could put it that way. I mean, like, if you want to call it that, but, like, he, it's...
And not only a shout-out to Aiden Hutchinson, special shout out to every Harbaugh Michigan player, especially like all of them tweeted on Twitter, and I'm like, I felt kind of bad for them because none of them ever beat Ohio State.
I know.
But those were there were so many good players that just never got to beat Ohio State, and finally we did it.
Yeah, I'm glad Hutchinson got to go out with a bang. I mean, this guy's gonna get paid in the whatever team he goes to, but yeah, I'm really happy that he got to win on senior day, and yeah, it's awesome. I'm really happy. Looking forward to playing Iowa in the Big Ten Championship next week.
So what is Iowa's biggest weakness that Michigan has to exploit? Outside of, obviously, they're going to run the hell out of the ball. But where else do you see holes in Ohio State's team that could allow Michigan to win the game? Because I think you guys... I think you guys are both fairly confident that Michigan wins this game. I'm fairly confident that Michigan wins this game. I would have rather seen Wisconsin, considering Michigan beat the brakes off Wisconsin on the road this year, and then you get to see them a second time. I think that the confidence will be at an all-time high, and I think that they're an inferior team. But at the same time, you know, is Iowa that good? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I will say that it's very hard, especially in college football, to beat a team twice. And for that reason, that was the only reason why I did not want to play Wisconsin at all. Like, just playing a team twice is a recipe for disaster. And on top of that, like you said, I think Michigan is better at, like, every single level as a football team over Iowa, of course.
Every position group, you mean?
Yeah. I don't think that means we're going to win, and I'm not going to, like, you know, count my chickens before they hatch or whatever, but, like... I'm
not going to pull my card.
They just, like, they haven't really been that good all year, especially on offense.
No. I think I was extremely overrated. Like, that matchup with Penn State earlier in the season, I think, was 2-3. Like, that was a joke.
Yeah, 3-4, I think.
3-4. I don't even know what it was, but it was at Iowa. Iowa won that game. No Sean Clifford. But I just don't – I don't want to say anything because I've said things in the past that I've, you know, come back to haunt me as a Michigan fan. But I'm confident we win this game. I just think I was extremely weak on offense. And I think if we stopped Ohio State today, there's no reason that we can't stop Iowa. And Iowa, I mean, they have the best part of their team is their secondary. I mean, that's something that maybe they can exploit in our offense, but – no, their defensive line's okay, but there's really nothing about Iowa that makes me think, oh, like, they're going to be a really tough threat. But you never know. You really do never know. Anything can happen in a game of college football, as we saw today.
Okay, be making a trip to Indy next week?
I haven't told this to anyone, but as of right now, it looks like I will be in Indianapolis next
week. Let's go.
I will be pulling up with the squad, that being my dad and my brother, who I would like to say this means I have now been to Indianapolis more times than AB has. So, who, you know, and I'm not, I really don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but maybe making a second trip for a specific national championship game if cards fall into place.
I mean, my co-host Anthony Belady is in shambles right now.
Yeah, he two times one season. Oh, Anthony would cry. He would cry.
Thoughts on MSU? Like, with
third place? Who cares?
Yeah. No. Yeah. And I why did I think that was a good topic to talk about?
I don't know. Good season, but without Kenneth Walker, who knows where they'd be? And then also, I don't know how much faith I have in Mel Tucker going forward as someone who, like, coming off the Michigan game, going into the Purdue game, like, it just seems like a bad game plan overall. Like, you give up, what, 500 yards to the Purdue quarterback? You give up however many yards to C.J. Stroud without even putting up a fight? It's kind of, like, what are we doing? Like, what did you guys prepare for all week, specifically in those two games? But I'm sure he'll be a good coach. I don't know if he's the next prophet like some MSU fans, i.e. Cole, AB, and Sam think he is, but he definitely can keep MSU in the conversation as long as he's there, I think.
I I'm not particularly worried about him. I think $95 million a dollar contract for 10 years, like 9.5 a year for 17 wins thus far. I think that's very risky. I don't know. I'm definitely more worried about MSU than I was when they were like, you know, the last few years under D'Antonio. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a passionate guy. He's gonna recruit a lot better. But we'll see. I mean, I find it embarrassing that we lost to them this year. I really do. But this Ohio State win just makes up for it all, honestly. Yeah. It really does. I forgot about MSU, you know. Makes it better.
That's completely correct. I don't really care about MSU anymore. I don't care that they won today. I don't really care. It's whatever. We beat Ohio State. We're going to Indy. Who cares?
Exactly.
Now, last kind of MSU-related topic is I truthfully think at this point in time that we might see a Michigan player in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy Award.
Which player from the state of Michigan, though? Gabe?
Two players from the state of Michigan. One from Ann Arbor that I think has a real shot of winning at this point.
Wow.
And that's Aiden Hutchinson. Now, you might call me crazy, and maybe I'm being a homer.
You're a homer.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts are is that the award is so narrative based, and there are literally no narratives around mostly anyone right now in college football. You have people saying that, you know, Jordan Davis of Georgia deserves the Heisman, and he has 3 sacks and 12 tackles. Sure, he eats up blocks, but like that's not Heisman type numbers. They'll say like Will Anderson or something. But the fact of the matter is at the end of next week, if Michigan wins, there's a team in the playoff who no one thought would be there, who had a marquee win, who had a player that had a Heisman moment, if you think about it, with 3 sacks against his biggest rival, which is one thing. I think at some point in the game, Hutchinson should have done the Heisman pose, but that's neither here nor there. Maybe at the championship game. I just think he has the pieces in place to make a narrative out of where he is to make a run at the Heisman that no one else does right now.
I 100% agree with everything that came out of your mouth, but there's one thing that I disagree with. They're not going to give it to a defensive end. They just won't. It sucks.
I mean, they nearly gave it to Chase Young back in, 2018?
No, they did not. No,
he was the favorite for a little bit there.
He was, but the only defensive player in the Heisman.
That would have been 2019,
right? 2019, yeah, 2019.
Yeah, I think I just don't see it.
Who won it that year? It wasn't Fields. It was who?
Burrow,
yeah. Well, yeah, Burrow.
Yeah. Burrow had one of the greatest seasons in college football history. I don't want to hear that Chase Young almost won it.
Your move, Burrow, is Chase.
I still don't think he gets it. Because who else? They had 4 finals though that year. There was
Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence, maybe? I don't know.
I think so. I think it was Lawrence. By the way, he had a much better sophomore season than junior season, I believe. So,
He
could have made an argument for Lawrence as well.
But, yeah, the fact of the matter is I love Aiden Hutchinson, and I think he deserves it. That Heisman moment that you talked about is 100% correct.
But a bigger Heisman moment. If he gets a strip sack in the championship game, maybe somehow a defensive touchdown. If he does the pose, I'm telling you, it's the pose. He's got to do it.
I know
that guys.
Sorry,
Jeff. Yeah. If you wanted to, JP, why don't you go ahead with your last thought on
just real quick. I wanted to say, like, I know the other guy you're talking about in the state of Michigan is Kenneth Walker. Just give me yes or no right now. I know I asked you this question a million times, but do you think Kenneth Walker has the best chance to win the Heisman out of anybody in the country?
No, I think. Especially with the win next week, maybe Bryce Young.
Well, if they win it next week, Bryce Young has it on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's hard because he's not playing next week, and that's when the championship games are. And he just historically, it usually comes out of someone who plays during championship week, and he just isn't.
Yeah, what a loser. It's fine. Jackson, go ahead.
Playoff predictions, guys. how do we think the championship week is going to shake out, and what are your seeding predictions? I have mine all written down if you want me to start things off here.
Jackson, we've been talking for a long time. You can go ahead.
Okay. I have, and I'm waiting for a result. There are 34 seconds left in the Oklahoma-Oklahoma State game, and it looks
who's
like...
Who's up? Can we get a score update?
Oklahoma State is up, so assuming they hang on, spoiler alert, they will be in my playoff. So I'm waiting to see if they get in. If not, then they'll change things a little bit. But and if Oklahoma wins, they do not take Oklahoma State spot. I would not have Oklahoma in the playoff if they went. Even if they beat Oklahoma State on the road, big time win, I would have them just outside at 5 or 6. But coming in at number one, not a huge surprise. I do think Georgia beats Alabama next week, and I do think that they will lock up the one seed and finish up their undefeated regular season. So I have Georgia as my one seed. My two seed, I think Michigan takes care of business in Indianapolis. Nothing too exciting here. I do have the Wolverines as my number two seed. Go Blue. I imagine that you guys will have similar standings. Maybe not. Maybe we will differ a little bit from that standpoint. Number three. This is where it gets a little bit tricky.
And juicy, a bit juicy.
Bit juicy. Just like JP. I am going to go with... That's so tough. I'm going to go Cincinnati here. I think that because Cincinnati has been undefeated, yes. But no, I'm put Oklahoma State. I'm talking myself out of it. I'm put Oklahoma State third.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma State's defense is very good. I think Caleb Williams kind of lit Ogie State up today. I don't know if Cade McNamara or like Michigan's running because Oklahoma State is a very good front seven. So I don't know if Michigan would match up super well against them. For example, I think that Oklahoma State defensively is just much better than most teams in the country. And I think that Spencer Sanders had a bit of an off day today, but one of the better game managers you'll find in the country. And, especially last year, it was fun to watch the Oklahoma State offense with him and Chuba Hubbard. I think that Oklahoma State is a very, very good football team, and Oklahoma State does have the ball with 14 seconds left, so they are going to win. I have Oklahoma State as my third seed, and then four, I have Cincinnati. The thing is, they went undefeated. I love their team. I love Luke Fickell. I was thinking of Matt Campbell. No, Luke Fickell. But the problem is like Cincinnati beat Navy by 7, and Navy's like 3-8. So, and they beat 6-6 Tulsa by 8 points. So those are just like, if you want to be like, they're still in the playoff because they went undefeated and a win is a win. But I would have liked to see them blow those teams out. And even like Tulane, who's I think 1-7, they beat them 31-12, but at halftime the score was 14-12. So Tulane was hanging in there with Cincinnati for a while until kind of late in the third quarter in that game when Cincinnati pulled away. So that knocks them down one seed. I'm going to have them as my four. I do think there's a world in which Notre Dame does get into the playoffs over Cincinnati.
They just beat Stanford 45-14 today, Notre Dame.
Yeah, and that's a solid win. So I would say that there's a legitimate chance that Notre Dame gets in as well. So those are my top four seeds, though.
Gabe, go ahead.
I mean, mine's not going to be too different. I agree with the first two picks. Not much to say. Georgia, best team in the country. Michigan, I do think will win, hopefully. Third seed, I just don't see how it's not Cincinnati. Like, the committee has constantly underrated Oklahoma all year. They've constantly put Oklahoma at a lower rank than you would think based on their record. Like when they were undefeated, they were behind a few teams who had a loss. They were at
Oklahoma
8.
State.
No, Oklahoma. Like Oklahoma was undefeated while also being ranked 8th this year, while there were like multiple teams with a loss who were ahead of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know how good the committee thinks Oklahoma is, but from what I think they just keep Cincinnati above Oklahoma State. And then the last spot is very tricky, right? Next week, championship week, Oklahoma State plays Baylor. If they take care of business there, I don't really see how you could justify putting Notre Dame in over Oklahoma State. Notre Dame really doesn't have a great win this year.
I don't mean to cut you off, but important to note that Houston, who is undefeated in the AAC this year, will play Cincinnati in the conference championship next week. So if Cincinnati does win that game and they go undefeated, that's a good win.
Yeah.
For a young against a Houston team with only one loss in the season.
I think Houston's ranked as well.
They're 24th right now.
Yeah, 24th. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a good win.
So for a quick aside, the player they're interviewing on Oklahoma State looks so insane. He has the most insane looking face I've ever seen. Back to what I was talking about. I don't want Notre Dame to get into the playoffs because, frankly, they're not very good. They just aren't, and they'd get blown out by whoever they play. I truly think this, and I would. It's almost inevitable at this point. Notre Dame, famous for never winning a big game in the history of their whole program, you know, starting in 2010 or whatever. But so I'm just going to leave them out of my playoffs and have Oklahoma State in at four because I don't want to see them in the playoffs. If they get in the playoffs, this year is honestly a farce. Like, come on, Notre Dame, are we doing this again? It's just like, it can't happen.
They're not even in a conference. They're losers. I don't care about tradition or whatever the hell it is, but Notre Dame are a bunch of losers. Now it's my turn. One, Georgia. Two, Michigan. Three, and I'm not going to lie, Jackson. I disagree with you. I agree with Gabe, buddy. Cincinnati at three. They're undefeated. They're going to be at three. I mean, they're going to move up a spot this week. Don't you? They're probably going to move up a spot.
I love Cincy's team. I don't know if Oklahoma leaps on
field rush here.
What's the word I'm looking for? Frog leaps, leapfrogs. I'm like, what did I want to say? Frog leaps, leapfrogs on. I think that's very possible. I'd imagine Cincinnati will be three. That's my guess. This is also what I would personally have based on the results that I think would happen and then what I would personally have the seeding as. So maybe the committee will do it differently. But I love Cincy's team. And sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, JP. I'll let you go ahead. But I think Cincinnati plays like very fast. I think their defense is really good. I love their team and I love the idea of Cincinnati. It's just some of these close games against really bad teams have scared me this year.
Yeah. I don't think Cincinnati is playoff good. I think Notre Dame and Oklahoma State are both better than Cincinnati. Well, I mean, you don't think so?
Cincinnati beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and frankly, the game was never really that close.
That's very true. My bad. I'm an idiot. But I think Cincinnati at three if they're undefeated. You can't really put them at four, but I feel like the only way Notre Dame gets in over a Big 12 champ, I'm an idiot. The only way Notre Dame gets in is if Oklahoma State loses the Big 12 championship game. I think if Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 next week, they're a lock. But it just depends where the committee wants them at, three or four. So I'm going to give my final prediction as. But Baylor's not a bad team. Baylor can cause Oklahoma State some trouble.
Yeah.
But with that being said, give me Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati 3. And shit. Give me Oklahoma State 4. It's hard, but I have a feeling they're going to lose next week and Notre Dame's going to get that fourth spot. I don't know.
Now,
go ahead.
Let me say the biggest wrench in anyone's plans is if Alabama goes.
That's what I was just going to say.
Oh, my gosh,
and beats Georgia. It wouldn't matter if Michigan wins. If Michigan wins next week, they're in. Everyone knows this. But it would throw a wrench in everything related to Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, any of those teams. Because then you have.
Right. I think it would also be bad for Michigan.
It would.
You're right.
Alabama won because then Alabama will probably be ranked number one in the country. They just dethroned the undefeated, Georgia SEC. Alabama only has one loss. Some people are going to say, oh, it was a fluke when they lost Texas A&M. They're the best team in the country, which in reality, up to this point, they're not. If you've watched Alabama, every Alabama game, and you've watched every Georgia game, not that I have, but in the, you know, I've watched quite a few Alabama and Georgia games this year, and Georgia's clearly a better team. But if Alabama beats them head-to-head on a neutral field in the last game of the season, I think that you have to rank Alabama ahead of them. And then Georgia would be ranked second. Michigan would be ranked third. Michigan would have to play Georgia in the 2-3 game, as opposed to playing Oklahoma State or Cincinnati. I think that's a much harder matchup
for sure.
Wolverines.
And on the topic of Alabama, can I just run off like four scores that are kind of concerning? 31-29 against Florida. Oh, by the way, did Florida or Florida State win today?
Florida won.
Florida won.
Well, that's surprising. Mullen's out. But yeah, 31-29 against Florida, Bama. 20-14 against LSU. 35-42 against Arkansas. Arkansas isn't terrible, but, you know. And then today, 24-22 against an Auburn team who didn't even have their starting quarterback. I get it's a rivalry game. I get all of that. Good comeback win. But Alabama, I personally, if I'm a Michigan fan, I 100% do not want to face Alabama in the playoff just because of Nick Saban. I just think he's the best coach of all time when it comes to college football. But just like what Jackson said, if Alabama wins next week, wow, that'd shake everything up. That's why I was really hoping they lost today, so just a Bama playoff would have been eliminated from the equation. But if Bama loses next week and Michigan wins, I can't believe I'm saying this, we're looking at a real shot for the Michigan Wolverines to be in a national championship game, which is unbelievable. Like, it's actually insane. Gabe is laughing his ass off, but it's actually insane.
It's so crazy.
It is.
Literally yesterday, anyone would have told you you're crazy.
AB told me I'm crazy. I swear on my
life, hours ago.
I had text messages. I told AB, yo, AB, if we win tomorrow, we could low-key be in the national championship. And he's like, okay, let's slow our roll now. Like, to his credit, I should have been slowing my roll, but I'm not slowing it now. I mean, I think if Bama wins next week, I agree. Sorry to like be rambling on, guys, but if Bama wins next week, they'll be first. Then Georgia will be probably third. Michigan second.
No. Michigan or Georgia will be ahead of Michigan, wouldn't they?
I think you guys are underrating the possibility that Michigan goes into the one slot.
Oh,
come on! Yeah. You're telling me you don't want a Cade McNamara led QB led team being the number one team in the country?
Oh my gosh,
That would be the funniest moment in all of college football if Cade McNamara played in a national championship.
No, but hear me out. We lost to MSU.
Mickey Mouse lost, by the way. Doesn't count.
Mickey Mouse lost. Who MSU will be a top 10 team after this week. We lost to MSU. Bama lost to Texas A&M. Wasn't even ranked. Are they ranked?
They're ranked now. I don't know if they actually lost to LSU. It was a close game last I knew. But either way, Texas A&M is always fraudulent, so there's a high possibility
they lost to LSU. They lost to LSU today.
Oh, yeah, see?
And that's a team that, you know, I don't know, but I feel like Michigan State is a better loss, quote unquote, than Texas A&M. And Michigan has a trademark win in OSU today. I mean, if Alabama beat Georgia, they'd have a trademark.
Okay, but because of legacy and because Alabama's in the playoff every year, Alabama's going to be the number one ranked team in the country 100%. If they beat Georgia.
Well, yeah. Okay. You see, here's the thing, though, right? The committee loves Michigan, right? It's hard to pick against. It's like I don't know what a good analogy is, but like the committee very obviously has an affinity for traditional blue bloods, which both Alabama and Michigan are at this point.
Just say the committee gets aroused by Alabama. You could just say that.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know. They do tend to favor Alabama, but who knows? I think I want Michigan to get on the one line. Just because that would be so funny to me at least.
All right,
it was. It
to wrap things up, I'll ask one more question. If Iowa beats Michigan next week, is that your most devastating sporting loss of all time?
100%.
I don't know. Well, see, here's the thing. An even crazier thing is I think there's a chance Michigan gets in the playoffs with a loss to Iowa. You need the right things to happen.
I'll take.
No, you need Oklahoma to lose. But if I were the state, I would put in Michigan over Notre Dame. I don't know if that'll happen, but I would do that.
Gabe, I love you, but it's an L take. Like, at that point, Michigan's
okay.
Sorry, Gabe, but Michigan's just not getting in at that point. But to answer Jackson's question, I don't know if it'd be my most devastating moment. As a Michigan fan, 100%. I mean, like, you know, the championship loss to a cheating Louisville team in basketball.
I don't know if you have any like devastating Liverpool moments, because I know it's your other big club.
Yeah, definitely.
You beat my Spurs in the Champions League final a couple of years ago.
We did. I mean, not in the last few years under Jurgen Klopp. I never really had one, but yeah, there's been. But I don't think any would top losing to Iowa next week. That'd just be devastating. Like AB said, like put it pretty well. I mean, just discontinue the program at that point. That would be tragic to lose to Iowa, next week.
Unironically, the most devastating loss in sports that I can remember, I guess I'll go non-traditional. Obviously, there are the two national championships, but the game five in the first round for the Trailblazers last year. I'm not kidding.
Oh my, here we go.
That nearly broke me. It's so like, are you kidding me? But I know it nearly broke me.
Gabe, let me get a score before we close things out. Let me get a score prediction for Michigan Iowa next week.
I'll go Michigan 31, Iowa 14.
What about Alabama Georgia?
I'll go Georgia 27, Alabama 21.
Okay, I'm gonna go Jackson. Can I pick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Give me Michigan 38, Iowa 21, and then give me Georgia 35, Alabama 14.
I would say Michigan, again, like today, I would say Michigan 42, Iowa 13. I think it's a mauling.
Okay.
I think that Georgia beats Alabama. Let's go 17-10.
Yeah, I think
I like that. I like that yeah. Georgia prediction. I think low scoring is a good possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. All right, boys. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it. Goose, we got to get you back in, you know, back on more often. We'll get Gabe Green. Gabe Green was busy recording that other podcast.
I think Gabe Godin might be partying in Ann Arbor at the moment.
He was at the game. This guy was going crazy.
He's at the game. He's doing all the partying, and then he's got shameless plug this evening, so I'm sure that'll be a good episode. But we will get Gabe Green on podcast soon. We'll do some drafts soon too. I miss the drafts. Yeah. We gotta do some more drafts in the not too distant future. But I think this is a little fun podcast. I think we did a good job of covering Michigan OSU and covering the college football landscape moving forward. So a little college football, you know, roundup, check-in, roundtable, title the episode, something like that. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, because it helps us out a lot. Follow us on Instagram at Bragman Breakdown Pod. And we will see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.